Welcome to another edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Good Thursday to you and our Sports Look sponsor to make it all happen, our Exchange Bank, Gerber Electric, Taco John's, and Hamada Wealth Management. Gus Couts with me here. Tom Couts in the upcoming sports schedule has us, Gus, going to ACCHS in Effingham tomorrow evening as district play continues for the high schools around the area. Republic County is going to be coming to Tiger Stadium, so we'll have that game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here on Care Radio. Then Saturday afternoon, after what seems like an eternity, we've got Benedictine football back. Yeah, it was only 1 week off. It just felt a lot longer. Ravens are going to begin divisional play in the conference. We'll be with them at Central Methodist in Fayette, Missouri, Saturday afternoon pregame here on Care at 12:30. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff in Fayette. Well, with that all said, wow, there were some big games that went on last week, and there were no close ones. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, in district play, you never know what you're going to get, and you always know that teams are looking for points, and, well, there were points to be had by the winning teams.
No question about it. Atchison, a nice win in the KCAL as they knock off Sumner last week, 35-14. Schlegel went over to Wamego, took a beating there, 48-14. Baser Linwood and Wyandotte, both shutout wins in the KCAL. Baser Linwood, 54-0 over Washington, and Wyandotte, 67-0 over Harmon. Gus, when I look at all those scores, I still look at that Harmon team, and I applaud their heart. I mean, they keep showing up. They keep battling. They've had some real adversity and played some pretty good teams. And you know what? I'm proud of them for hanging in there and battling.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of those teams that, you know, is going to be able at the end of the year to say, hey, we finished the season. You know, there was a lot of adversity, a lot of life lessons learned this year for those kids at Harmon. So, yeah, I mean, hats off to them. You look up and down that schedule last week, though, I mean, you could have spotted any of those teams 20 points, and they still would have come up a little short.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but you're also talking about some really good teams, right? Like Atchison, Wamego, Baser. I mean, those are some of the top teams right now in the state.
We're going to be talking about that here in just a minute, but we're going to look also at how the NEKL shook out last week. And half of the home games were won, half of the visitors won, because ACCHS went up to Riverside. Tigers continue to play well. Looking forward to seeing them tomorrow night. They defeat Riverside 32-13. We were over at Guy Galley Field, Nemaha Center, with a win over MHMA on their homecoming. It was Rossville knocking off Pleasant Ridge. Rossville continues to be outstanding, 56-6. JCN, because they surprised a lot of people. I don't know if they surprised us, because we know how good Coach Snyder has this team playing. And Jeff North on the road, a 30-11 win at Waubunsee.
Yeah, and Waubunsee's one of those teams who, you know, they've kind of fallen into this district for JC, and we've seen them over the last few years. And Waubunsee's always a very athletic team, so for JCN to go over there and get a 30-11 win, I mean, that's big for the Chargers.
No question about it. And then you have teams like Opie, Silver Lake, and Centralia, all of them with 50-60-point wins over the course of last weekend.
Yeah, teams that are playing good offense but really good defense.
And it was Mission Valley, the team that we're going to get to see Friday night, winning at Oskaloosa 40-12. Anyway, that all said, here's the deal. You look up and down the classifications. Where do you want to start at?
Well, you want to start big and go down?
Yeah, sure. We'll start with the 4A schools around the area. How about that? And districts are done a little differently with Class 4A, because you've got an east half of the state and a west half of the state, and all the east teams will ultimately play one another. The west teams will play one another, and a state championship team then will be decided in a game between an east and a west team in Kansas. So that's how they do it. And in Class 4A right now, how about that Phoenix, huh? Atchison is right now number 3 in Class 4A on the east half of the state.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you look at the top 3. Baser Linwood at 6-0. You look at the rest of their schedule, it stacks up favorably for Baser to come out pretty okay there. You look at Chanute is the next team. The Chanute, do you know the mascot?
No.
I surprisingly do, because BC had a running back from there a couple years ago, the Blue Comets.
I like it.
Yeah, you know, And they've got that Chicago Bears C, but it's blue. Anyway.
Well, for Chanute and Atchison, numbers 2 and 3, identical records. The only two 5-1 teams, and it is just a matter of, what, a point and a half or so? I mean, 2 points.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm going to tell you, both of these teams are going to finish 7-1. I expect Baser to probably finish out it. I say that. They could lose that last game to Pittsburgh. So, I mean, you could technically have all three of these teams at 7-1 when it's all said and done. But, you know, it should be fun right now at the top. If you want to gaze into that crystal ball right now, you'd be looking at Atchison playing either a Coffeyville, Fort Scott, Bonner Springs type matchup in that first game.
Right, and it would and be hosting at home at Amelia Earhart Stadium. And so, and look at the teams who in Class 4A are not just below Atchison, who's at 5-1, but are way below them. You got Piper below them, Eudora, Paola, Lewisburg, Tonganoxie, Bishop Miege, Ottawa, St. James Academy, Lansing. I think Lansing was in the state title game maybe last year. I mean, you've got some great teams that are below the Phoenix right now. It's Atchison, and Coach Smith has them doing some great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and you start looking at some of those teams down there, and they kind of scare you a little bit, right? Like a Miege at the bottom of the pack, when you start pulling their schedule apart, you start looking at a St. James Academy, maybe. I mean, like, let's dive into St. James, because earlier in the year, we dove into Miege and talked about the schedule they had and the upcoming schedule that they will play. But you look at a team like St. James, they lost to Aquinas. They lost at Blue Valley. They lost at Blue Valley West. I mean, these are great teams in bigger classifications. Lost to Blue Valley Northwest. At St. Pius 2 weeks ago, they were able to win that game, so beating a Missouri team. And last week, they were able to win at Blue Valley Southwest. But they're going to finish out with Blue Valley North, who is, you know, 3-3, so a beatable team. And then they're going to finish the season at Miege. So, I mean, you talk about Miege and St. James are two good teams playing just ugly schedules.
Class 4A in the West, if you're just curious what the West side of the state has, you've got Bueller, Wamego, Andover Central, McPherson, all tied at 5-1 for the top spot, again, separated by 3 points.
So does this go to prove our theory that if you're west of Topeka, it's Western Kansas?
West of Topeka.
Right? Like, I mean, Wamego fits that bill perfectly.
West of Topeka, people consider that Western Kansas.
I mean, seriously, you have Wamego, and then you have teams like Great Bend. Okay, figure that up. If the season ended today, Wamego would be home with Great Bend in round one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you get there from, you know, point A to point B?
It's a long, ugly bus ride.
Oh, man.
Hey, let's just take a quick glance then at Class 3A. There are not a ton of schools in this area. There are a few in Class 3A. District 3, you got Hayden and Perry-Lecompton. Wow, that is always such a tremendous, tremendous ball game. And who do you think they play this weekend, those two teams?
That is?
Yeah,
yep.
One another. So that's what's going to shake out in 3A District 3. Bishop Ward is in third place in that district. And in District 4, I call this the Big 7. District.
Hmm?
Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Because Holton and Rock Creek, 3-0. Then you got Sabetha, Hiawatha, Jeff West at 1-2, Rogue Valley at 0-3. So 5 of the 6 are Big 7 teams.
Yeah, and Rock Creek plays Holton this week, and Rock Creek's only 2 losses this season.
Go ahead.
Silver Lake and in Rossville. Okay.
Of course.
Let's put it into a little perspective, and that Silver Lake game was within a touchdown, so.
Look at a Class 2A, District 1, St. Mary's Colgan and Riverton are 3-0. And District 2, it is Wellsville and Humboldt at 3-0. You move down to District 3, Rossville and Silver Lake are 3-0. Pleasant Ridge is in a good spot at above 500 at 2-1. And then you go to District 4, St. Mary's is 3-0, Nemaha Central, ACCHS, Republic County, all 2-1 in District 4 of Class 2A.
Yeah, so Friday night, that game between ACCHS and Republic County, kind of a little bit riding on it, right?
No question about it.
And if you're Nemaha Central, don't you throw your hands up a little bit, like you lost to St. Mary's earlier in the season, and you're just really not going to be able to down them in points because they're not going to get to play this week. I mean, It's just if you're St. Mary's, you're, you know, in the catbird seat right now.
No, no question about it. And in District 4, rounding it out, you've got Riverside and MHMA at 0-3, and MHMA is going to have an off week this week.
Yeah, so MHMA, if they're able to get back to it, will have Riverside next week at Riverside. And so, I mean, you're going to face those two teams up, and that will go a long ways to determining that. I always call it that mythical week 9, right? Like, yes. It's just magic. Somebody throws names in and something happens. I don't know. The whole week 9 thing still throws me. And we're a few years into it.
District 1, or in 1A. 1A, District 1, Opie. Of course they're 4-0 and on top. Linden and Uniontown are right behind them. District 2's got
Let's just jump back to Opie real quick, yeah. Because that's going to be a district that kind of matches up with the other district that we're familiar with, right?
Correct.
Opie, this season, how many scores have they given up?
Couldn't be very much.
They've given up 2 touchdowns.
Is that right?
Yep. In they gave up
6 games.
Yeah. So they beat Ellenwood 68-0, at Central Heights 53-0, then gave up 2 touchdowns as they won at Linden 70-12, which I'm going to tell you those were probably, you know, garbage minute touchdowns.
Guys like me were playing
right?
for them at that point.
Beat Uniontown 63-0, beat Pleasanton 63-0 last week, beat Jackson Heights 35-0. So you talk about a team who's, you know, blanking everybody. They're going to be at Northern Heights this week and finish the season at home with Christ Prep.
Okay, Northern Heights is an 0-5 team, by the way. And so, yeah, that tells you that they've got a pretty well paved a highway to get to an undefeated regular season. District 2, Centralia is on top at 5-0. JCN, second place right behind them at 3-1, followed by Waubunsee and Jackson Heights and Valley Heights. Then come Troy and Horton in 1A, District 2. And that kind of covers the teams from sort of around our area, how this is all going to match up. But, of course, we keep an eye on Opie because we could potentially see them also. It's hard to say as a JCN in the District 2, the one that lines up with them in postseason.
Yep. So I don't know. I like district play. Some of it throws me off, especially with the expanded district plays, and especially maybe Class 1A, where there are 6 teams in each one and only 4 divisions or 4. Yeah, 4 districts, so...
Yeah, 5 of your first 8 games are district games already.
So. Yeah, so, I mean, you throw in, like, you know, a couple league games and keep smiling down the road.
Hey, we're going to keep smiling. We got tons of stuff to talk about. We've got a lot more sports, so it's coming your way right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look here on Care Radio. As Gus, normally at this time we're talking about Benedictine and the football team and how they won last week and what all happened to them, but we're going to dispense with that today. What do you say?
I like it.
Because the Ravens and every other team in the Heart of America Athletic Conference had a bye week last week, and there were, and kind of one of the joys in that is no team had to utilize that open date to do a makeup game or to fill in, so every team in the conference was able to take that week off as they all switch now to divisional play to determine, you know, the champions of the North and the South.
Are you a little surprised that nobody's really tried to push the envelope and pick up a game there? I mean, I know the conference probably says you can't do it because it has to be a makeup date or whatever, but, I mean, there we go. It's one of those things where I could see a team like a Baker or a Grandview saying, well, let's just pick up an extra game, right? Like, you know, let's beef up that record a little bit.
Let's play 12.
Right.
The danger of that is you could lose one.
You could lose one, but I'm just saying at some point I wouldn't be shocked if somebody just tried to push the envelope a little bit because that's what, you know, teams do.
Games coming up in the Heart of America Athletic Conference this weekend at 12 noon on Saturday. It will be William Penn at Grandview. And even though they are 2 newcomers to the conference, because these two teams go way, 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 way back.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those big rivalries that came into the conference together, and I think it was one of those things where, you know, if you took A, you also got B. They were kind of the package deal when they came into the conference. And I'm going to tell you, when they came in, I don't even know that they were that close in sports. I mean, you know, they're just night and day in everything, right? Like when it comes to football, maybe wrestling's the only thing they're kind of close in. When you talk about football, Penn has just not been that competitive since they came to the conference. Grandview has been on top of the conference. You talk about basketball, Penn has been on top of the conference, and Grandview over the years has had maybe one year that I can remember them being, you know, competitive.
The other noon game is going to have Clark traveling to Peru State. That could be one of the most competitive games, I would think.
Yeah, I can't figure out Peru State this season, right? Because they play Benedictine and just look like world beaters, and then they kind of go out and don't look like themselves. And so I don't know if that was like their national championship against Benedictine or what, because they're a team that I just haven't been able to figure out this season.
And, of course, the 1 o'clock game will be our game here on Care Radio. It's Benedictine at Central Methodist. There's a 2 o'clock couple games with Evangel at Missouri Valley, a couple of fairly long-time teams in the Heart of America Athletic Conference. And then you also at 2 o'clock have Culver Stockton at Graceland. That will be the beatdown game of the week.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Culver Stockton coming off that Benedictine loss 2 weeks ago. Now they've had some time to stew over it. I mean, Graceland, that could get ugly real quick.
And there is also an evening game. I'm going to tell you how this used to work. Way back in the old days, 30 years, 35 years ago, what would happen is when this happens, okay, the 6 o'clock game is Mid-America Baker at Baker in Baldwin City. Again, two teams with a rich history of competitive games and fighting over conference titles.
This one will not be.
This will not be. But what would happen would be Benedictine would play in the afternoon. That 1 o'clock game is going to be over by 4, 3:30, something like that, quarter 4. Hop in your buggy, dash down to Baldwin City. You walk in there by kickoff, and then you kind of scout out that Baker.
You scout out two teams, right?
Yes.
You got to scout out Mid-America
exactly
and
what you
Baker
do. That
all
was
at
what,
one time.
That was exactly how it was done. Yes. Today, probably not so much, you know, with the instant transfer of video.
Right. I mean, you go home and you hit refresh, and all of a sudden that whole game is broke down in your,
yes,
you know, in your account, and you can, you know, review whatever you want. You want to review fourth down plays, you can. I mean, like, that's what's crazy with how far the scouting has gone for
the
technology's teams.
Incredible.
Like, it's just ridiculous.
Now, go ahead.
No, you go. Well, and then I've got one more thing we're going to come back to in the Heart of America Athletic Conference.
Okay, well, I'm just going to do a quick promo here, because coming up in segment 3, we're talking about the college. We're going to be talking to Josh Pound. He is the Sports Information Director and Associate Athletic Director at Benedictine. We're going to talk a little bit about not just football, but all the other fall sports going on on the campus and around the area with Benedictine. Then we're also going to preview just a little bit, because basketball and the winter sports are just about ready to start this month.
Yeah, what, 2 weeks?
Basketball will be underway. And I'm also going to just give a bump for the Monday morning guest host, Ryan Moody. Raven men's head basketball coach is going to be here in studio. And he's going to be visiting with Neil, and I'm sure that you'll be able to get some insights into a lot of stuff regards BC basketball with him live Monday morning.
It's going to be a very familiar roster for Coach Moody this year, right?
And
he's probably okay with that.
No new names.
Real quick, one thing that I think we'd be a little remiss if we didn't mention it.
Yeah.
Like, something fell through the cracks in the Heart of America Athletic Conference for us, and maybe it just was never posted overly, out there. Evangel has a new mascot.
They do.
And so, I mean,
when does it kick in? Is it like immediate?
It's now.
Like,
I mean,
right,
like,
now?
If you look at their logo, it says the Evangel Valor.
Okay.
You know, and it's got the little, I don't know. I mean, it's got the Mount Mercy Mustang
on
it.
It's got the horse's head.
Yeah, it's the Mount Mercy Mustang, mm-hmm, you know, and they're calling themselves the Valor. So,
As schools continue to change mascots for a lot of various reasons, Evangel's been talking about this for a little while, and finally came up with what they like, and so there you go. So Crusaders out, Valor in. They got rid of the guy, kept the horse.
And kept the horse.
There you go. Hey, stick around. Josh Pound is going to join us as Sports Look continues here on Care Radio. Josh Pound is joining us. He's the Sports Information Director, Assistant Athletic Director, Activities Director at Benedictine College. Josh, appreciate your time, man. How's it going?
It's going. I mean, the students are gone, but it's fall break, but that doesn't mean anything for me. That just means that the chaos is just around the corner.
Well, you just look at the webpage, and Everything is going full tilt. You got men's and women's soccer. You got the volleyball. You got the football. You've got so many things happening up for Benedictine athletically right now.
Yeah, and you know, that's normal. And that's the right kind of normal. You know, I we've had some crazy days this year, but I look back and, you know, anything that's been crazy this fall was nothing in comparison to where we were, you know, second semester in the spring, where we had baseball, softball, lacrosse, both soccers, football. Everybody was active because of how crazy the scheduling went with the delay of the postseason for the fall sports last year. So actually it's been kind of a nice change of pace this fall to just kind of get back to a normal crazy instead of the just absolute insanity that was last spring. So, yeah, everything's going on right now. You know, basketball season's just around the corner. They've started practicing, so the balls are bouncing around just outside the door on a daily basis. So it's nice to kind of see everything kind of starting to get back into that normal pace that we saw a couple years ago and not have to worry about some of the outside noise that you have to deal with when you're talking about COVID-19 and all that fun stuff that we dealt with last year.
Well, we're going to get to football here in a minute, but the other fall sports, sometimes we don't get a chance to talk about them, frankly, enough. Let's start with soccer. How men and women's soccer doing up on the hill?
Well, the women's team, they're number 22 in the country right now. They a 9-3 overall record, 5-2 in the conference standings. Both their losses to the two teams ahead of them in the standings in Central Methodist and Missouri Valley. The conference for women's soccer is strong as normal. You know, those top three teams, including us, ranked in the top 25 this year. So, and our third loss was to a season opener to a nationally ranked John Brown team. So, all three losses to top 25 teams this year for them, and all close games. So they're doing well on the women's side. Men's side, it's kind of been up and down. They're just still kind of honestly trying to find out who they are. The men's side in our conference, as good as the women's side of the conference is, the men's side is just, it's crazy. I think we've got four, maybe five teams either ranked or receiving votes in the conference. And, you know, it's cliche to say that any given day, you know, another team can knock off somebody else, but you know, we've had, you know, middle of the road teams have knocked off the defending national champs in Missouri Valley, and then we've got the last three national champions for the NAIA soccer have all come from our conference. CMU won back to back, and then Missouri Valley won last year. So it's just absolutely crazy. They're 5-6-1 overall, 2-4-1. So from a standing standpoint, they're kind of clear down there. I mean, but the saving grace is that when you take a look at those standings, Clark is sitting in fifth place at 3-3-1 in the conference standings. So you've got a pretty big cluster of teams from fifth place all the way down to 11th place. They're all within a game, half game of each other. So they head down to Evangel this weekend. That should be a game that they can kind of start moving that momentum back into their favor. But they've been, you know, they've been in a lot of matches. They've had two tough overtime losses. They had Mid-America on the ropes here early, clear back, probably about a month ago on campus. Had a goal disallowed, or had a goal, MNU's goal was overruled by the referee. The AR had an offside call, and the referee ruled that there was inadvertent ability or something. It's you got to get really far down in the rule book to find out what he was looking at. So we took a 1-0 game and made it 1-1, and then they scored early in the golden goal period on us, and that kind of just kind of sucked some momentum away from us for a couple of weeks where we were just kind of trying to rebound from that. And then they had a tough one on the road, I think it was to Clark, where they got called for a penalty in overtime inside the box, led to a PK, and of course Clark made the PK, and they won that one. So, you know, the men's side is just, it's crazy. I mean, there's not a lot of difference, and it's a very international heavy conference now, and so if you can't keep up with that from a recruiting standpoint, it makes it kind of hard to compete, and we're doing the best we can. Coach Sosa, you know, does a good mix of kind of getting some guys from the region and some guys international to come in and play, and they're just kind of it takes a little bit of time sometimes for those guys to gel together, and they're getting there. We see it. They see it. It's just sometimes the record doesn't necessarily reflect where they're at as a team.
the volleyball ladies are in full sweep, and looks like that they've been having some success here recently.
Yeah, it was we had a nice turnout on Tuesday night. It's always nice when you can beat Baker. It's especially nice when you can break out the broom against Baker, and we swept them in three. We played them earlier in the year down in Baldwin City, came out strong, won two straight, and then they won three straight. But we had some girls that were coming back off of some protocols that had limited time that they were able to play. So they played in the first two and then didn't play in the second two, and so we saw the difference. But, you know, first two sets the other on Tuesday night, we were in command from the start. And then the third one kind of went back and forth, and then we were able to pull away late. But it was really nice to see. We had a lot of support from our other teams on campus, and we're trying to do what we can this year to get some of our student-athletes to understand that if they want the support for their games, they're going to have to get out and support the other teams as well. And we're starting to see a little bit more buy-in as we meet with them on a semi-regular basis to kind of talk with the leaders on every team to say, hey, it's important that we get out and support ourselves. And once the student body sees that, then they'll kind of follow suit and realize that, you know, they're missing out by not coming and supporting us. So, yeah, it was really nice to see. You know, they're 12 and 10 overall, 7-5 in conference play. They're third in the Hart South. Men's women's soccer doesn't play in divisions. They're, I think, the only holdout remaining that doesn't have divisions set up. So volleyball does. And they will take the top three out of each division, and then you need a PhD in mathematics to figure out how they get the other two. But we're third place in the Hart South right now, behind Park University, who's number five in the country, and Central Methodist University, who's, I think, the new yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to look at the women's volleyball poll yet, but they're typically nationally ranked up in the top 10, top 15 as well, and we have them coming in on Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So, you know, it's a tough conference when you've got, you know, your top three or four teams in your conference are either ranked or on the NAIA radar, and Coach Hurt, in her first year, she's doing a really good job of trying to change a little bit of the dynamic, and the girls really understand that, you know, we can compete with anybody. And, you know, that really showed up a couple weeks ago when we hosted Park on family weekend. And, you know, Park is next level. I mean, they are legitimate NAIA national title contenders this year. And when we played with them, we were sitting there in the second set. And if you were to just watch the way that our girls played and the way they carried themselves, you would have thought, okay, well, we're winning. And then you'd look up at the scoreboard, and we were always down by like two or three, but it just felt like, okay, this is different. And then again, Park is just next level. When they've decided they've had enough with you, then they put you away. And that's just what happened in the third set. But, it's nice to see the direction that they're headed in. And, you know, all in all, you know, we've got some high expectations on campus for where we want our teams to be as far as competing for conference titles and competing for NAIA national championships. But more importantly, you know, with some of these programs, we just want to see the athletes compete well and be, you know, show us what it's like to compete within the mission. And so, you know, we've got a lot of good kids going in the right direction, and it's just, you know, a matter of getting those things to click like there is in, you know, in any sport. You know, men's soccer is relatively young, and so they've got the steep learning curve. Volleyball is the same way. We didn't lose a whole lot from senior standpoint, but we got a lot of young players that are just kind of starting to figure out what this level of volleyball looks like. So it's exciting to see some of these teams and see where we're going.
Josh Pound, SID and assistant AD at Benedictine, joins us. And, you know, Josh, you talk about the great crowds and stuff. Don't have to worry about bringing extra people into that Benedictine football. The guys have been battling hard, and the crowds have been just phenomenal this fall.
Yeah, you know, and I was a little concerned. You know, we obviously, you know, we come out in our home opener and didn't have the showing that we wanted to have against a very good Grandview team. They're going to run away with the North when conference play starts up this weekend. And then we followed that up with a tough loss, you know, on the road against Peru State. So when we did come back for that next game, I wasn't really sure. And, you know, I went down on the field to check with the referees about timing and all that kind of stuff, and I'm walking back up, you know, 30 minutes before the game starts, and I was concerned, but I guess our fans decided that week, you know, against Clark, they were going to be the L.A. Lakers-style fan and kind of show up fashionably late. But we ended up having a pretty good crowd for that game. And then, obviously, family weekend the last time out against Culver Stockton, coming off of two 60-plus point games. You know, family weekend's always a big weekend, but, you know, we had a lot. We had them spilled over onto the grass berm, you know, on the north side of the stadium, and the crowd, you know, fed off the momentum of the game, and, you know, and coming into that one, you know, I think the sense was if you had, you know, obviously we don't have the attention on our level that a lot of the other, you know, some of the schools, the bigger schools in our area have, but I think if you were to go into that game, we were probably the underdog, despite the fact that we hadn't lost to Culver since, you know, like the first 2 years of the modern era of football. But they were looking good. You know, they were a missed field goal away at the start of the season from being undefeated coming in and playing us. And I, you know, I'd like to say the team that we saw against Culver Stockton was closer to the team that is who we really are than the team that kind of went up to Peru State and wasn't really sure who they were yet. Defense came and played well. The offense is starting to click good. We have some pretty special athletes out there this year, and it's exciting to see when they click what's capable. And so now we get to start the real season as they'll go to Central Methodist this weekend and open up the Hart South play, and we'll see. You know, two losses doesn't really mean much right now, other than we're not in the top 25 or we're barely in the receiving votes category, because if we run the table in this last half of the season, then that means we get to hang another banner and we have a pretty good shot at one of those bids into the NAIA National Tournament.
And then Raven fans, you know, don't have to wait very long to come back and see this team, because another big weekend is coming up. Not only next weekend is homecoming, Hall of Fame weekend, and you're going to put some fantastic individuals in that Raven Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, led by, since we're talking about football, Coach Dennis Murphy, you know, just recently retired, but it's nice to start seeing, you know, some of the guys that helped build the foundation. You know, Coach Gartenmeyer is technically not in the Hall of Fame as a solo individual, but he's in there with a couple of the teams as coaching staff. But to have Denny in there now, obviously with behind Coach Wilcox as well, and then, you know, those three were huge and are huge in the from a historical perspective. So to see Coach go in this year, it's going to be nice. And, you know, it's not been the same around campus, not having Denny here every day, but he's still around. He's, you know, coming to all the games. It's always nice to see. And you see him walking around, up around campus, trying to get his exercise in, so it's still nice to see him doing that. And then we've got Emily Smith. I forget her married name off the top of my head, but, you know, all-time leading scorer for the Raven women's basketball team. She's going to go in. And then, it's escaping me. You'll know it better than I will, the men's basketball player that we have going in here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Jason Weirich.
Yeah, Jason Weirich. Yep. You know, one of the, probably the best, the way that I understand it, one of the more pure guards that we've had in the history of our, you know, the recent history of our basketball program, but could score, could distribute, you know, played, I think, I don't know if he ever got to play in the Nolan gym. I think his Haverty was his home. And then obviously we already had, one of our inductees, clear back in the opener, we brought him in, and one of our former football players, because he's, you know, busy on the weekends coaching the Bears as their special teams coordinator. So, yeah, it'll be exciting to have all of them back. You know, homecoming is always a crazy weekend for everything. You know, we've got everybody's got something going on. So it'll be exciting to have everybody back and then be able to celebrate some of the success of some of these former players and coaches when they come back as well.
And just to wrap it up as we start to talk about winter sports, Gus and I are pretty excited. On the 30th of the month, not only are we going to go to Baker with Benedictine football, but we're dashing back home for a season-opening basketball doubleheader Saturday night.
Yeah, we're going to have Halloween hoops with actual games this year. That's going to be a busy day on campus, actually, truthfully, because we'll have volleyball in the afternoon, and then we'll have the basketball games at 5 and 7, and while those are going on inside, we'll have men's and women's soccer playing outside at 5 and 7:30. So, yeah, basketball right around the corner. We're actually going to start putting stuff out next week for season ticket sales and things like that. They will go live on the website on Monday, and then we'll start getting those things out in the mail to our great fan base that we've had over the years. We're going to get hopefully closer back to normal again for them as well, and be able to get bigger capacity crowds in here this year for home basketball games. But yeah, we're excited to see where they're going at. They're going to have their conference media days will be this next week, and they'll release the polls and everything that goes with that. But two teams that are coming off some pretty strong seasons last year, national tournament appearances, and of course a men's basketball team that is taking full advantage of the COVID eligibility. So they're going to be pretty excited to have them back. We have a couple of girls, one super senior for sure that came back on the women's side. So both teams with a lot of veteran leadership coming back this year, so we're excited to get them underway as well.
And Josh Pound, your family probably has your photograph just on the wall at the house, because this time of the year, that's about what they get to see of you, because you're so darn busy.
Yeah, you know, it comes in bursts. You know, we've been fortunate this year where, you know, the weeks leading up to the crazy weekends haven't been too crazy, but the weekends are definitely like, I'd say hello to them when I get up in the morning, and I don't see them again until like I get up on Sunday morning, because a lot of the times by the time I get home, they're sound asleep, and I do my best to not wake any of them up. But yeah, it's also nice. They come to as many games as they can, and that's been the nice thing too about the not having the limitations that we had a year ago, where, you know, last fall was difficult because, you know, we wanted to make sure that as many of our parents could get in. So, you know, Amy and the kids kind of stayed away so that they didn't have to worry about taking seats away from families. And so now to be able to have them back and be able to kind of just see them and have them hang out with me when they can, it's been nice. So, yeah, I try not to be too much of a ghost, but it does get difficult at times.
Josh Pound, we appreciate your time, man. I won't tell you to stay busy. I should tell you to just kind of pace yourself as you get through all of this.
Yeah, well, doing the best I can.
Thanks a million, and we will be talking to you more and seeing you soon. Go Ravens!
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom.
Welcome back to Sports Look here on KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. Oh, Kansas City Chiefs fan, Gus. If they're like me and they don't have a lot of hair, it's easier, but if they do, they're pulling it out right now.
Telling you right now, Chiefs fan is really struggling, right? I mean,
grumpy.
I would say new Chiefs fan is struggling a little more than, you know, the older Chiefs fans, because it's one of those things that you look at and you're like, well, you know, this team has done this in the past. And you also have to look into that Kansas City has played the toughest schedule right now in the NFL. But again, you also set the bar high that Chiefs fans expect to be 5-0 and 4-1 at worst.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, and not to have that record flipped and be looking to play the Washington football team this week just to get back to 500.
Right. The Kansas City Chiefs, after losing that ugly game, another ugly game to the Bills, Kansas City is now 2-3 on the season. And now, you know, the people who are the statistical analysis kind of sort of folks, and they're going to look at that and they're going to say the odds of a team who is 2-3 making the postseason is somewhere around, I think, like 13%.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose another game and you go to 2-4, the odds of making the postseason drops to like 3%.
Yeah, and I don't know if you had, heard Andy Reid talk recently, and he had a press conference yesterday. He sounds frustrated. Like, Andy Reid has always been one to, he takes the opposite approach of Bill Self, right? Bill Self is quick to throw a player out in front of a bus and say, hey, you got to get better because we're not good enough with you. Andy Reid is, but the coaching staff needs to improve things and our players are doing what we're telling them to. It's our fault. Andy Reid hasn't been that way right now. He's like, we're to the point where guys need to figure some things out, and he just sounds a little frustrated. And he, you know, he's acknowledging it's the turnovers. And right now, it's a lot of mental things for this Chiefs team, and I think that's probably the frustrating part for a team that is all back.
Yeah, well, the question has become twofold, I think. Number one, can this ship be righted? Do they have the personnel? Do they have the staff? Can this get fixed, or is this season done for?
No, I think it can be fixed, because you think about it, like, you haven't had a game yet where you've had your complete defense healthy, right? Chris Jones didn't play on Sunday. Frank Clark hasn't played prior to this. Willie Gay had his first game back. I mean, so your defense, Travers, Ward is out. Like, I mean, you're dealing with a huge amount of injuries, but injuries happen. The problem is, Kansas City said, okay, we're going to put really good players in as our ones, pay them highly, And then we're just going to piecemeal in undrafted guys, you know, in behind them, and it hasn't worked as well as they wanted them to. So they need to get that second and third string guy to step up a little bit for them. And everybody wants to look at Dan Sorensen as the scapegoat, but let's be honest, Dan Sorensen is not the player that the Chiefs are trying to make him be, right? Like, I mean, he is really good at what he does, but he is not going to guard man-on-man with the best wide receiver in the NFL. Like, that's not his game, so don't put him in that position.
And they're complaining how also on that one touchdown play that he quit covering after, like, 6 seconds. Well, I'm just telling you, if that play isn't over and that pass isn't thrown in 6 seconds, you probably figure it's just never going to happen. I mean, and shouldn't he have kept the defense and the coverage up? Sure.
Right.
But do you see why he didn't? You kind of sort of do. And yet, with all of that said, they talk about the missed tackles. And don't get me wrong, I am Dan Sorensen's biggest fan because I like some of the things he does. I like the way he plays. I like his intensity. I like his motor. But I also saw on social media that they set up a fundraiser yesterday to buy out his contract.
To buy out the contract. I saw that same thing. So,
so anyway, by the way, the $2.3 million they needed has so far fallen a little bit short. I believe they were up to $80.
Okay, we'll see.
So, I mean, they got a ways to go.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere,
right? I don't think Daniel's worried about this.
Yeah.
So anyway, Chiefs lost to Bills 2-3, but you talked about it. They go to the Washington football team. It's a noon game on Sunday, and still the Chiefs are a favorite. They go to every game as a favorite.
I was going to say, the Chiefs are going to go into almost every game a favorite, but big deal going on with the Washington football team at halftime of this game on Sunday. They're going to retire Sean Taylor's jersey, okay? That's only the third player that has ever had a number retired for the Washington football team. The other two were Bobby Mitchell's 49, Sammy Baugh's 33. Other numbers like Daryl Green's 28, Art Monk's 81, and John Reagan's 44 have never been worn again, but they were never exactly retired. So pretty cool to see Sean Taylor's number retired, you know, on Sunday. The number 21 will never be worn again. In the maroon and gold.
There are some other big NFL games going on. I don't know how the Cardinals have gotten to 5-0. It's because they have that weak schedule for one thing. They have the Browns.
I think that could be a fun game, right? Like, you're going to learn a lot about both teams.
Yes. It is a 3 o'clock game Sunday. Chargers at Ravens. That's a noon game. That's going to be a really good
game. Yeah, I'd prefer that to be a 3 o'clock game, so maybe I could pay a little more attention to it.
Bills are going to be at the Titans for the Monday ball game. Buffalo is a 5.5-point favorite in that one. So.
The Sunday night football game is Steelers and Seahawks. You talk about a backup quarterback for Seattle, and you talk about Big Ben, who, I'm telling you, I think you could give Big Ben a run for his money right now. So that could be
the foot race?
Yeah, any of it. I think you could probably even almost throw the ball further than Big Ben right now.
Saturday, college football around the country, and Kansas and Kansas State are both back in action. Kate will be at home at 3 o'clock game with Texas Tech. They've been a Jekyll and Hyde team all season long.
Yeah, Texas Tech is, you know, one of those teams that is good enough to beat Kansas, right? A 16.5-point favorite. But they've had some games where they look spectacular and other games where they just look like they don't know how to play.
Iowa State is going to go to Manhattan, Kansas. I thought early in the season Iowa State was going to be in a fight to get into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the case anymore, but I still think they're really, really good.
Yeah, I think they're really good. I think they're a team who is trying to fight themselves back and show how good they really are. Can you believe if Kansas State loses this, it'll be like 350 days since they've won a Big 12 football game. Not a road game, not a Big 12 football game. It's almost been a calendar year since K-State has won in the Big 12.
Oklahoma State is going to try to win. They'll travel down to Texas in a battle of two nationally ranked teams in a Saturday morning game, an 11 o'clock game in Texas. Number one, Georgia. I kind of like saying that because I like the Bulldogs, and they've got a resilient Kentucky team. You never think Kentucky, you don't think football, although we've been to their football stadium.
We've been by their football stadium,
and
yeah.
Here's the thing, you don't think football at Kentucky, but they are number 11 in the country. That's going to be a big game. Georgia, a big favorite, though.
Yeah, you talk about Kentucky, one of those few remaining undefeated teams. Well, there's going to be one less after Saturday because I believe that UGA is going to just put the beat down on Kentucky.
By the way, Mizzou is at home. And the Missouri fan is a little grumpy these
days, too. And I put it on there because that's an 11 a.m. game. So when we see all those crazy little tails sticking out of cars as we head east on I-70.
Yep, they've got Texas A&M coming in an SEC game there. By the way, you've got baseball tonight.
Yeah, 8:07 tonight, Game 5, Dodgers-Giants. Winner will get to take on the Braves.
There you go. And our first two teams in, Astros and Red Sox, already in the
NLCS. I've never pulled for the National League like I am now. Right?
There you go. Hey, we're pulling for some great games this weekend. Tomorrow night, we're going to be in Effingham, Kansas. It'll be Republic County, ACCHS District Play in Class 2A, 7 o'clock ball game here on Care Radio, and then Saturday afternoon, Benedictine at Center Methodist, 12:30 pregame, a 1 o'clock kickoff from Fayette, Missouri. Want to thank you for having joined us and want to thank our great Sport Look sponsors, Taco John's, Gerber Electric, Hamada Wealth Management, and Exchange Bank. Till we greet you next time, for Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.